The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Haddad Auto Group in the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts. Subaru, Toyota, Hyundai, and now Nissan. The Haddad Auto Group in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Dr. David Peck, Taylor Street Dental Associates in Springfield, Massachusetts, serving Western Mass and Northern Connecticut for general and cosmetic dentistry. BMW of Darien, located just outside of Metro New York City in Connecticut. And Hudeberg Subaru and Hudeberg Nissan, located at I-240 and Shields in Oklahoma City. Also by Hawkins Roofing, expert slate and chimney service serving Western Mass. Call Mitch. Everybody else does. And by Video Broadcast Services, complete exclusive expert marketing services provided with video, with proven results for medical and dental practices, auto dealerships, and more. Call 888-996-9697.
Well, welcome aboard to the Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Marcia Hawkins, along with Kyle Klaus. Our mission here is to provide your business the right arsenal of tools to stack your business playbook with the most comprehensive and most effective tools to get your business across the finish line and to victory. Whether you're running a small to mid-sized business, a large corporation, 50-location car dealership, you're a franchise owner or a franchisee, or you just have an entrepreneurial mindset and you're ready to launch your business, we're going to coach you through every play with financing ideas, website ideas, marketing tips, advertising concepts, employee relations. The Sport of Winning will coach you and your business to success. Today, we are going to be talking about how to motivate your team. And we're going to talk a little bit about whether it's employees, it's colleagues, even your customers to a certain extent. I'm going to talk a little bit about that as well. If you have any comments or questions, you may call in at 646-716-8747. Or you can email us at info@videobroadcastservices.com. A little bit about what Kyle and I do. We do own an exclusive marketing company. One of our tools for success, we use video. It's a little strategy that we've developed, and it's garnering some pretty impressive results as well as a tangible product. In fact, right now, if you visit our website, videobroadcastservices.com, we're offering a custom YouTube channel free of charge. We will go in and customize and optimize a YouTube channel for your business. And we've got a really great strategy on how to utilize that YouTube channel to market your business. We can tell you a little bit more about that. You can give us a call at 888-996-9697. Again, that number is 888-996-9697. And you may also email us at info@videobroadcastservices.com. Again, info@videobroadcastservices.com. I do repeat myself with the contact information because sometimes it does take people a minute to grab a pen and get that information. So I apologize for repeating myself, but it is important to do so. Again, we are a video marketing company. We drive qualified traffic over to your website, and we offer our services exclusively to our clients. What does that mean for your business? We do not work for your competitors. This is how we obtain massive online presence for your business. Our vehicle of choice to drive that traffic is video. You can learn more about us at videobroadcastservices.com. But we're all about the sport of winning right now. And the reason that we've developed this program is to allow entrepreneurs, business owners, anybody who is trying to, gain that competitive edge online. We've come up with, a lot of the problems that really hogtie business owners down and really kind of, cause your success to kind of fall to the wayside. And, it's a way of partnering with other people who have been there, done that, gotten the T-shirt, and you're able to kind of, thrive on their experiences, their wins, their losses, if you will, and really find out what works and what doesn't work. And a lot of stuff may or may not replicate into your business, but some of it might. And our goal and our mission is if we help one business owner with some type of challenge and we're able to help them overcome that, then our mission and our day's work is done, so to speak. But enough about me, enough about VBS. Let's bring on Kyle. Hi, Kyle. Where is Kyle? I think he's here. I hope he's here.
Can you hear me?
Kyle, I can now.
Marking?
Yeah, we must have had...
Oh.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I must have been I was talking, but it wasn't coming through. Apologize for that. But, yeah, just another great day and a great show. And really, as you were saying, our motivation is to provide tools and techniques for businesses that they can implement immediately and start experiencing some massive gains, some great gains, some great changes to their companies and organizations and really, take them into the next year.
Absolutely. And it's important to point out that what we certainly are really, we're experts in our own business, and we have really, I think, effectively gathered some of our own strengths and weaknesses, and we're always, in search of trying to perfect how we do things as well, and when we do make mistakes, we really try to, step back from what we've done and try to figure out a solution, and really that's what the program is about. It's allowing us to say, hey, I think last week we did topics about, just different techniques for businesses that they can use. And we talked about being able to use FreshBooks for your accounting program. And we're just downloading what has worked for us. And we're hoping that it will work for you as well. But by all means, if there's anything that you feel that would be useful that we could download to our listeners, we would definitely be interested in either having you on our program or... you could email us the information. We'd be happy to pass along to our listeners. So today we're talking about how to motivate your team. And, one of the things that I think is hard as a business owner is we all wear so many hats during the course of the day. And it's very difficult sometimes to be able to do that. And one of the things that I think about a business, a business owner, a CEO, whatever, and they're really trying to motivate their sales team and, certain things that they do. A lot of companies have tried. I know one company that I worked for many moons ago, they ran contests all the time. And I do think that they can be effective. I don't know, Kyle, what do you think about running contests when you're a business owner to kind of motivate your sales team? Do you have any thoughts on whether it's affected you in a positive way, if that's been something that you've responded to, or whether or not you think it's a complete waste of time or somewhere in the middle?
Yeah. I mean, contests are definitely good. I mean, everybody likes to have that group acknowledgement of, hitting the mark or reaching goals that the company has set. And it can be a great way to motivate. I think when you're running a contest, too, it's important, in your weekly meetings with your team or how often you have those meetings, ask them what types of prizes they would like in the contest, so that you're and regarding what it is. I mean, if there's a dollar limit set, that's great. Find out what drives each individual employee within that dollar amount, so that whoever wins that contest, they're basically being awarded with what motivates them, not what motivates someone else. So it's important to take consideration of everyone's motivation and what really drives them when you're running a contest.
Right. Do you think it works for everybody though? All employees across the board, or?
I don't think it works for everyone, and that's why you have to open it up to the floor and kind of open it up to everyone and find out what motivates them. A lot of times contests do motivate people, but, obviously not everyone's going to be driven by that. A lot of people just want the acknowledgement, and they're really not interested in a prize. It's a lot like, there are some people that just take satisfaction in knowing that they've hit their goals or that they've hit the mark, and it's a personal satisfaction, and anything outside of that really doesn't cause them to work that much harder. It's more of like of an internal drive.
Right. I mean, I know personally for myself in terms of motivating myself, I always feel like when my lists, I do the monthly list, the weekly list, and I always, draft it on Sunday evening for, the work week. And my weekends are really about catch up, being able to mop up what I wasn't able to accomplish during the week, whether I got sidetracked, busy, or whatever. And also, being able to really kind of lay the foundation for an effective and productive week ahead. So my weekend time really has a multiple effect if I set it up right. So I enjoy doing that. But I also find that in terms of motivating myself, you know, I have to ask myself, what is it that I want, and what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? And I think sometimes when you really sit back and take inventory of what you're really trying to accomplish, it allows your brain to then refocus on the goal at hand. I think, you know, I love social media, and I love everything that it has to offer. I use social media. I have a lot of people that say, oh, you know, you're on Facebook a lot. And I'm really not. I think the problem, that the perception is that what people don't realize is that I harvest a lot of information off Facebook, and therefore I am on it. But I really find social media to be a huge, huge detractor from the workday. And I think a lot of business owners that are listening to the program would attest to that fact, that social media has cut down production immensely. So what are your thoughts on business owners who block social media on workplace computers to eliminate that? Any thoughts on that, Kyle? And do you think it's a good thing or a negative?
You know, some employees might deem that a negative, and if they do, they probably are not the right employee for your company, because, you know, it's like anything. You want to hire people that are self-motivated, that show up ready to work, put in an honest day's work, and that are ready to perform. And anything that distracts, obviously if you're running a marketing company and you're managing social media accounts for businesses, obviously that's not something that you would do. But if you find that it's distracting from your employees, I mean, it's no different from, per se, a construction or landscaping company that has a lot of vehicles that they've purchased, and they they give it vehicles to their employees that they then use to get, you know, from job A to job B, and they put tracking software on the vehicles to make sure that they're not using those vehicles and, you know, company vehicles, company gas, and so forth on recreational activities. There's really not any difference in that. And it's really, you know, it's a friend of mine, well, you know, he locks up his stuff and he says, you know, it's just keeping the honest people honest, you know, and that's really what it boils down to.
So are you for that? I mean, if you had to oversee, you know, we don't have that type of setup where we would block anybody. We personally don't do it for our organization, but do you find that that's something that, you know, employers should do to in order to ensure that their productivity is where it's at? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you and I talk a lot. It's, you know, we kind of, we're always of the same mindset of giving someone enough rope to hang themselves. And so I don't think that necessarily you might want to come out of the gates doing that, but you kind of set the ground rules and what the restrictions are and what the, you know, kind of what is expected, and let people govern themselves. And then when they choose not to govern themselves, if that's what they choose and it gets out of control, then you have to implement blocks or different checks and balances, if you will, to make sure that people are staying productive at work.
Right. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think maybe a middle ground for that would be to allow people to police themselves and, you know, three strikes, you're out. I know one company that my brother worked at, I can just remember him telling me that on like one particular day, like six people got escorted out of the building and fired because at the time they were on MySpace and they just couldn't get off. And he said it was just shocking to me to see six people that he worked alongside of. The head of human resources came down and walked them all out and said, you know, that they were basically being fired from MySpace, and they sent out a memo that they let six people go due to their, continual parking on social media sites like MySpace, and they let them go. So I guess that's a happy medium, you know, allow them to police themselves, but put it out there that there will be repercussions if they, you know, park themselves onto Facebook and Twitter or whatever. And, I think that's a good middle ground, and allow them to kind of just police themselves, and hopefully they can do that. And I think most people are pretty good with it, but I do know that other employers that I speak to on a pretty consistent basis tell me that social media has definitely had a negative impact on the productivity of the workday. So if you're an employee, maybe just start putting some, you know, self-restrictions upon yourself to kind of minimize all that. So, you know, we've talked about social media. You know, how do you feel about, you know, personal problems and how they can bleed into the workplace, and how, as a business owner, do you come across compassionate and understanding, yet, you know, you're able to set up those parameters without, you know, kind of, you know, blurring the line, so to speak. What are your thoughts on that, Kyle? How do you become a compassionate employer and yet still be able to recognize that, you know, outside activities really have to be compartmentalized as to not bleed into your entire organization? So, you know, what are your thoughts, and what would some of the strategies be that our listeners could then utilize for themselves? Because in my opinion, whether it's a bad economy, global events, current events, you know, there's a lot affecting the American family today. And I really do feel that it does, unfortunately, illness. I just went through that with my family. It really does affect one's ability to have a productive day at work. So what would be some of the things and parameters that a business owner, and we'll inject our own experience, implement in order to still have your compassion yet still maintain the ability to run your business?
Yeah, you know, I guess you have to approach that as on a case-by-case basis. But I kind of, you know, I read a good book called Good to Great. It came out, I don't know, gosh, 10 years ago, I guess, maybe 15 years ago. And one of the things that he really talked about in his book was setting up, you know, having a freedom within a framework. And what that means is that you set the framework for your organization. Like, these are our parameters. This is what, you know, these are the parameters that you can operate in, and then allowing them freedom within that, within those parameters or within that framework. And so basically, you know, if someone's having personal issues, obviously it's on a case-by-case basis, and it has to be something where, you know, something comes up, you obviously have to be able to take care of that, but it can't get to the point where it's sucking from the productivity of yourself or distracting from the productivity of the team or the organization as a whole. And so really it has to be a case-by-case basis, and it's something that, you know, obviously you have to exercise compassion for and sound judgment with, but at the same time, you know, setting up that framework and so that everyone knows what the framework is. If they're having, you know, if that means that they have to take a sick day off of work or use up a few of their sick days, that's fine. You know, you have those set up so that they can do that. But it really, you know, you have to tackle that on a case by case basis.
Right. I think it also depends on the actual challenge that the employee is going through, whether it's medical or, you know, in some cases it may be self-imposed. And, you know,
sure.
Before today's show, I did do a little bit of polling within our clients and asked them, you know, what's the number one challenge that you have with your employees in terms of motivation and keeping your employees on track? And, you know, one of them that came up consistently was the social media. The second piece was the personal behaviors. You know, a lot of auto dealerships have commented that, you know, some of them have had to deal with DUI issues with their employees, you know, getting DUIs, and, you know, they're unable to drive, and, you know, being able to take people out on a test drive and even get to work sometimes has been a little bit of a challenge. So, you know, you have that aspect of it. And then another thing that came up was that, and I found this kind of interesting, they were talking about, this probably came up more often than social media. I was a little surprised by it, but it was about dealing with the employee that has the mentality and the ego injected into their job where they just feel like if they left the organization would fall apart. And they, you know, they kind of, one particular client kind of laughed it off and just said, that person has no idea how quickly they can be replaced. So how does an employer deal with a large ego within the organization, and, you know, how that affects not only their relationship with their superiors, but also their colleagues in terms of how, you know, how you modulate in between, you know, between that and remain, you know, effective. And because to me, it's like I totally got what they were saying when they were talking about, you know, every organization has that person who feels like the business would just completely fall apart without them. And it really does have a spillover effect. So how does a business owner modulate between that in terms of being able to not allow it to other people in the organization and how they interact with that particular person? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, like we've talked in past shows too, where everyone, you know, I don't care who you are, everyone's replaceable. And, you know, we've had conversations where, you know, in the past where, you know, you do have those employees that, you know, that kind of think that, you know, that think along those lines. And I guess it comes down to, you know, finding out what motivates that employee. But if it gets to a point where it's, you know, it becomes a cancer within the organization, sometimes you just have to let them go because you don't want something like that spreading or that kind of ego, you know, translating off into other employees and so on. So sometimes you got to make those hard decisions about just letting someone like that go, because if people aren't going to be if they're not being a team player and they're not working for the betterment of the organization as a whole, if they're only working strictly for themselves, then that really can cause, you know, long-term problems in your business.
Right, right. Another issue that came up that I found kind of interesting, it kind of goes back to what we were talking earlier about, you know, some of the car dealerships said that they have had to deal with DUIs within the organization and whatnot, drug abuse. So the drugs and alcohol in terms of, you know, how it affects an organization, you know, I mean, I think every single employer has had to deal with it on some level. You know, any thoughts on, you know, because it's again, that the lines can be very blurred here in terms of what you're able to, well, let me take it a different angle at it. Like, you know, a lot of businesses have tell their employees, you know, watch what you put on social media because we are monitoring it. So how do you navigate through that without, you know, really imposing your restrictions on their personal time? I mean, a lot of businesses do have the character clause built right into your contract. So in terms of, like, drugs and alcohol and inappropriate posts on Facebook, how does an employer navigate that? Any tips, ideas, you know, in order to help that business owner where they're not, you know, in some cases breaking the law?
Yeah, you know, I guess you have to tackle that on a case-by-case basis, a lot like the person. I mean, it would fall under the personal, you know, the personal issues category that we were talking about earlier. And you have to tackle that on a case-by-case basis. But it's much no different than, you know, you look at pro athletes, where if they do something, you know, I'm thinking of, what was his name, Michael Vick. You know, he lost a lot of money in a contract and spend jail time for doing illegal activities. And so the same is true with any employee. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're conducting yourself in illegal activities, you know, obviously you can have a negative reflection on the organization and on your company as a whole, much like Michael Vick did with the NFL. And, you know, and other pro athletes have had in the past with their run-ins with the laws, you know, celebrities as well. And so you really have to have those boundaries set up. I mean, if you're arrested and you're spending time in jail and you're not able to show up to work, I mean, to me that's terms set for termination, because you cannot, you know, you're not, when you were hired on, you weren't giving, you know, you're given sick days and vacation days and so forth, but there's not any jail days. And so if you're not able to show up and perform your job, you're conducting yourself in an unprofessional way, I mean, that should be terms for termination. You know, grounds for termination, so that you can, so that if anything does happen, you've got, you know, every organization needs to have something in place so that if anything does happen and an employee conducts themselves in a negative way, that they are able to terminate that employee.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sorry about the gap there. I was reading an email from a listener who was just asking about, you know, the impact on, you know, drugs and alcohol in the workplace and what the legalities are. And I think it's state by state. I would really not want to get into, you know, throwing down the gauntlet on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I think it depends on the industry. I think it depends on the organization size. I think it depends on what the state, on a local level, you know, what the bylaws are. I think it also comes into play. A lot of employers do drug and alcohol testing on a regular basis. So I think there are stop gaps in, you know, in play to help that, but it really has become it came up on, I think, every single interview that I did in preparing for today's show, because it does fall back to, you know, being able to motivate your team. If your team is not motivatable, then you're dead in the water before you even get going. So those are just some of the outside stuff that, you know, is really influencing the productivity and the day-to-day influences of your employees. Some ways that I've always felt that's been very, very effective, and a lot of times when I had employees, I really didn't recognize, you know, the impact I was having on them until I can think of one in particular was a girl that I actually caught stealing from me. And it wasn't until I ran into her years later when she came up to me at a local craft fair or something. I had run into her. And she, you know, we exchanged hellos and whatnot, and it was a little uncomfortable at first because, you know, I kind of caught her red-handed. And she, you know, basically said to me, she apologized and said, you know, it has bothered me from, you know, right from the beginning that, you know, A, that I disappointed you, I disappointed myself, and I really, really felt bad about that, but I learned an awful lot from you. And I really felt inspired by just some of the things that you taught me. And I think it comes down to, in terms of being able to motivate, you know, you do have to lead by example. You know, I think that it's kind of like going to the doctor's office and they're telling you need to lose weight and quit smoking, and as they smoke a cigarette and they're 100 pounds overweight. It's really a monkey see, monkey do mentality. I always, I would never ask any of my employees to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And if I don't know how to do something, I'm happy to learn it. And sometimes the employees have taught me things that I didn't know, and I've learned a lot from them. So it's not about having people work for you. It's having people work with you. But I will add one little caveat to that, you know, I've always said this to anyone that's ever worked for me. I will take you anywhere you want to go. I will help all of us go to where we need to go, but I'm not going to drag you, because you can't drag someone to where they want to be. And I think it really comes down to, I have of late, I ask very in-depth questions to try to get into someone's mind about what they want. And one of the questions I ask them right off the bat is, what's your dream job? You know, if I could, you know, wave my magic wand and give you your dream job, what would it be? And I think therein lies the most important question you can ask somebody, because that, I think, really does kind of flush out whether or not that's going to be a good fit for your organization. Because you can be as motivating, as an inspiring as a self-help book, but if they're not willing to absorb the information, I pretty much think you're dead in the water. So I think it's a win-win relationship. You have to have a motivating person to begin with in terms of an employer, but you have to be of the mindset, you have to be a sponge, if you will, in terms of what you want to absorb and be able to take from that, because that's really what it comes down to. It's one of those things you really have to be, you have to have an open mind. I mean, self-help books, what the big joke is, they're shelf-help books if they just sit on your shelf and never do anything. And self-help books can be so great. In fact, one book that you bought me, Kyle, that I would love to give a shout-out to is The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur by Mike Michalowicz. That to me, is probably one of the best books that I've ever read, besides a lot of the books written by Malcolm Gladwell. Mike Michalowicz hits the nail on the head in that book in terms of you know, being an entrepreneur and what it takes. And when I read that book, I just remember thinking, oh, you know, it was a confirmation that I was on the right path, because a lot of the information that he puts in there is been there, done that. So what other books that you have read, Kyle? I know you've shared quite a few with me. In fact, some of the authors we've even had on our radio program. But these books, I love reading to begin with, but some of the books that you've sent me have just been beyond helpful in terms of strategies that I've incorporated in terms of being able to not only motivate myself, but help motivate other people.
Yeah, another good book of Mike Michalowicz was the Pumpkin Patch. And we've talked about that book quite extensively, which basically talks about putting your focus on the clients that are bringing in the most revenue and kind of letting the others that are just kind of taking up your time kind of go to the wayside and die off, if you will. So there's, you know, there's that book. The Ty Bennett has come out with a couple of good books and also good audios. We've had him on the show. There's also, you know, Good to Great that I mentioned before, which was a really, you know, I thought was a really great book that I read, you know, kind of like taking, being able to take yourself and your business to the next level and kind of following what other people of success have done. And then there's also the book, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but you and I were reading it at the same time, The Tipping Point. That was a really great book. Yeah, the edge of, you know, bringing your business where you're right at that edge and then it just tips and everything just falls into place at that point, which it was a really great book. And, all of the books have really spoke volumes to what we've been doing and what we've accomplished and kind of where we're going and really validated, you know, the path and the direction that we're on.
Right. And there are a lot of great self-help books out there. In fact, you and I think we inventory every month. We talk about different books that, you know, you're reading or I'm reading, and the ability to download that information. I get so much. Tony Robbins is another one that I think I have read Awaken the Giant Within every December prior to New Year's, because I get so much out of that book. And there's certain lines in that book that just resonate with me in terms of just how I really can kind of conduct myself. I mean, I'm probably known for being able to move on from things very, very quickly. I'm known for that. I remember once having an employee work for me. I've always said that the only thing that could really rattle me to the point of not being able to function would be if something happened to one of my kids. And I remember my daughter, when she was about 10 or 11 years old, and I knew from birth that she had some type of medical issue. And I, you know, years going to the doctors and complaining to them, and you know, she had different things. Her Apgar when she was born was off, and there was a multitude of things. She, you know, the biggest thing that stood out in my mind was her ability at school, her ability to thrive, if you will, in a school environment. You know, she was very challenged with that. And the other thing that stuck out is that she wasn't growing. She had not, you know, grown 1 millimeter in over 3 years. And the doctor kept telling me, "Oh, there's nothing wrong. She's fine. You're just comparing her to your other child." Well, moms are usually right, and I was. She did have a condition called Turner syndrome, and it's really funny because, you know, I just remember that, you know, at the time, you know, a lot of the educators, you know, told me that she would not make it out of you know, regular school and whatnot. And my daughter ended up graduating high school with honors. She graduated 6 months early with dual enrollment and went on to get her degree in teaching at a state university. So, you know, and I think that I can attribute a lot of the strategies that I used with her, I used from the Awaken the Giant Within book. I just got so much out of that. I extracted so much information, and I enjoy reading that every December. And to me, it just kind of gets me focused on the year coming up, what I want to accomplish. It helps me with goal setting. He has so much information in there, and I just have found that, you know, my ability to kind of move on from things or tackle things head on. And, you know, when I can kind of self, you know, regulate myself in terms of when I know it's time to disengage. And I really attribute a lot of my strategies from that book. So I highly recommend that book from Tony Robbins. And I know a lot of people say, "Is that the guy on TV with the big teeth?" And it is. But his information, I'm telling you, is just, you know, just absolutely on spot. For me, it has worked for me. If it works for one of our listeners, even better. So we've talked a lot about, you know, how drugs and alcohol can really affect the workplace, the ego. you know, people coming to work with a lot of personal problems that are going on and whatnot. We've talked about running contests for your employees to improve sales. Kyle, can you think of, you know, other things that employers can do to really try to stimulate their sales team, their marketing departments, their, you know, just their overall employees in general? Have you had an experience where you thought, wow, this is just great, or have you had an experience to the negative that you would want to share with our listeners that they should avoid?
Outings are always good with your employees. Taking, you know, going out on outings, like an overnight trip somewhere, to a spa or to a resort of some type. Those are always good things to, you know, spend some personal time with your employees and really get to know them and on a personal level and show a vested interest in them personally. And I think that goes a long way as well in keeping employees motivated and feeling valued so that everything's not just business. It's also on a personal level and that you have that personal relationship
Kyle,
with them.
Kyle, are you trying to tell me I need to send you to Disney?
Disney World over in, is there one in Europe? Yeah. No, but, you know, just spending personal time and having that personal relationship, I think, is really key to having that with your employees so that everything's not always business. And they feel also validated on a professional level, but also on a personal level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I really can't think. I mean, I've worked for some pretty great people and some experiences that I had. But I really have been self-employed 99% of my entire life. And, you know, I've learned a lot from my employees. I've learned a lot from colleagues that I've worked with. It's kind of one of those things. I think when your mind is open to learn, you know, the teacher definitely does appear. And I think that little tidbit of information, I think if we could all incorporate that into our day and understand, you know, the mindset that some people have to come to work sometimes. And you never really do quite understand what somebody else is going through, but you know, you do have to run a business and you do have to be able to keep things moving along and kosher and, you know, legal, and you've got to do all of that. So it is, you know, it can be shark-infested waters, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't have to be eaten by sharks out there in the business world. You just have to find, you know, common ground. You've got to find what works for you. And above all, and we've talked about this, I think, on every single show, you know, for heaven's sakes, just keep it simple. The more you try to complicate things, the more you, in most cases, are probably setting yourself up for a lot of heartache and a lot of failure. So keep it simple. It's a real simple strategy. And, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Always just try to be inspiring and motivating. And there's a lot of great books out there employers can read to really, you know, talk about how to communicate to their employees and, you know, recognize what works, what doesn't work, and then, of course, move on. Again, thanks for tuning in to The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcia Hawkins along with Kyle Klaus, and we do hope that you find this information useful. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on our program, or if you'd like to just share a concept, an idea, or useful information that you've utilized within your business and have had great success, or if it's been an unequivocal failure and you want our listeners to stay away from that, definitely give us a call. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at 888-996-9697. Again, that number is 888-996-9697 or via email at info@videobroadcastservices.com. One little thing we want to do a shout-out about is that we are now offering a free, customized, fully optimized YouTube channel for your business, free of charge. It has a $197 value. We would love to give that to your business and set that up for you. You can take advantage of that by emailing us at info@videobroadcastservices.com. If you are an owner of a franchise, we have a great program that we're running right now for not only your franchisees, but also for you as the owner of a franchise. We've got this incredible offer for you on how to receive a massive marketing plan for your franchise free of charge. And we'd love to schedule a consultation with you and explain to you how that works. It could be an Aspen Dental, a Planet Fitness, a home healthcare agency. We've got just an incredible marketing offer that we would love to share with you. So if you want information, again, info@videobroadcastservices.com to schedule a free consultation or pick up the phone and call us at 888-996-9697. So our goal here is to provide you with the most comprehensive business information available and ensure that you can compete in the sport of winning for your business. Until next time, I'm Marcia Hawkins along with Kyle Klaus from Video Broadcast Services, where our unique approach to business marketing and thriving in today's competitive online marketplace pushes our clients to excellence. Until next time, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
The Sport of Winning on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Haddad Auto Group in the beautiful Berkshires of Massachusetts. Subaru, Toyota, Hyundai, and now Nissan. The Haddad Auto Group in beautiful Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Dr. David Peck Taylor Street Dental Associates in Springfield, Massachusetts, serving Western Mass and Northern Connecticut for general and cosmetic dentistry. BMW of Darien, located just outside of Metro New York City in Connecticut. And Hudeberg Subaru and Hudeberg Nissan, located at I-240 and Shields in Oklahoma City. Also by Hawkins Roofing, expert slate and chimney service serving Western Mass. Call Mitch. Everybody else does. And by Video Broadcast Services, complete exclusive expert marketing services provided with video, with proven results for medical and dental practices, auto dealerships, and more. Call 888-996-9697.